In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Now, I'm going to do something interesting.
Sure, right.
And by interesting, well, I meant different.
That never happens at all.
I know. I'm going to talk about something I haven't seen yet because...
That seems strange.
It does.
But I'm yeah, here, let me buckle in. I'm in for the ride.
We both enjoy the Bluth family business.
True story, yeah. I mean, yeah. I like bananas as
who doesn't?
The next person.
Who doesn't like? We love our Jason Bateman.
I adore Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Arrested Development, funny, funny, funny. And then it came back. Now, here was the problem. The problem was everyone in Arrested Development got so famous, they couldn't schedule everybody together. So Netflix brought it back twice. They aired the first half of the final season, season 5, a few months ago. Going into it, you're going to notice that a lot of the characters aren't interacting with each other at the same room at the same time.
Not in the same way that, say, you experienced it when it was on Fox.
Like, right.
For those three, I want to say like 2001 to 2004, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very short run. But I think Fox also gave them a bit more of a chance just because mm-hmm. of the outcry of fan support. For what was legitimately a low-rated show, like not low on quality, mind you, but just the ratings were not there.
The first season of Arrested Development is just, to me, hilarious. And it's kind of like an inside funny. It's not really a laugh out loud, but talking about the nearly nudes and all of that, it's funny.
It's hard to really adequately describe the same way that, like, if you haven't watched like 30 Rock or The Office, mm-hmm. like you really just need to sit down and watch
right.
it. Arrested Development is the first three seasons, at least, are probably some of the funniest, like, and it's 22 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to say the episode, just, you have just chock-a-block full of just entertainment. Like I said, it's not always laugh out loud.
No.
Sometimes you've got to think about it a little while, which may have been the show's problem.
That's true.
Like,
and it's different. It is different.
Is it that, like, one of the characters has an affair with Liza Minnelli? Like, at one point, like, the family owns like a successful banana business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the directors, like, of In Arrested Development, the guys that do Infinity War and Endgame,
mm-hmm.
actually like cut their teeth on that show, and the what is it, the vehicle that has the stairs on it, like, what is that?
Yes, that's the thing for airplanes.
It actually appears in Civil War. Like, they put it in there as a little Easter egg.
Oh, that's funny.
So I mean, like, legit everyone, like the actors, like the writers, the some of the directors and producers are now making like $2 billion mm-hmm. movies. Like,
so it was no surprise when it came back last year and they couldn't get everyone together at the same time. I did watch it. It was amusing, and yet I did not find as much joy in watching it as I did the other seasons. For a sense of closure, I will watch this final few episodes, but Netflix is kind of burying it. The actors aren't doing a press junket. There wasn't any huge thing saying, hey, the final few episodes of Arrested Development's out. It dropped a few days ago, and it exists. Maybe your time will be better spent just rewatching the first season. But for closure's sake, I will watch it.
I don't think it. The problem that this show runs into, particularly the Netflix seasons, is the same problem that a lot of just like tremendously successful, like the conversations you have about like films that you love that have sequels that are exceptional. I think it's kind of a Ghostbusters 2 situation. Mm-hmm. Is Ghostbusters 2 a bad movie? No. No, it absolutely isn't. Like, it's infinitely quotable. Like, probably one of the funniest movies that came out in 1989. Is it better than Ghostbusters? No. Like, there's no...
Nothing is.
There's absolutely no way you can argue that point and be correct or not, like, committed. I'm just telling you, anybody ever says that to you, like, they're crazy,
yeah.
Get them a straitjacket.
They're not from around here. They're from an alien world.
That's the only other explanation.
That's all I can think of. So that's why I say I have not seen it. Arrested Development is binge-worthy. Maybe not the last few seasons, but it is binge-worthy.
Well, you've got situations of shows that, like, sometimes we almost have to quantify, especially if we're talking about entire runs and not, like, just season drops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, The X-Files. Is The X-Files binge-worthy? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is the last 2.5 seasons of The X-Files binge-worthy? Maybe when Duchovny decides to phone it in? Like, and that's what he's doing the last, like, 2.5 years. Like, he's phoning it in. The first 6, 7...
It was glorious.
They're really good. But, like, at the point that Duchovny, I think he was just tired of, you know, doing a show. And when you've done something for 6, 7 years, I get that. Like, I don't know that I've... Well, I certainly haven't been on a TV show that long, or a TV show. So I don't know what it's like. And I mean, I guess there's only so many ways like you can play that character and keep it interesting. But again, like I was saying, can you have binge-worthy parts of series? Yeah. And I think this is not quite to the level that like X-Files found itself in. Mm-hmm. Like even the well, I guess it does apply. Fox has had two more additional seasons after those first 9? Am I right?
I lost
track. I think it's 10 and 11.
I don't even know how they ended it.
They had done like short, like 5-episode, 10-episode. And some of the episodes are exceptional. Like I would put them with the best episodes of the series. And others of them, I'm like, this is dumb. This is just stupid. And Chris Carter, the creator of The X-Files, shares my birthday. Like he makes me want him to get off my birthday sometimes. it makes me a little angry in a way that it will never harm anybody and it affects no one in any way. Kind of angry.
So, Arrested Development, all of it is now available to be seen. There will be no more Arrested Development. How they ended up, I don't know. But I didn't jump right in to see it even when I knew it was on.
Jason Bateman wakes up in Teen Wolf 2.
Arrested Development. Everything's a dream.
Everything was a dream of his Teen Wolf 2 character.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, where we tell you what we think is worth watching, streaming everywhere, and from high atop the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center, Jane Ellen here with Adam Cravens. Now, you've seen a new thing. It's a Netflix original.
Yes. We're talking about the movie, correct?
Yes, the movie.
Triple Frontier.
It's got, this movie was made so even more people could win the Kevin Bacon Association game.
I think, like, it really has this ridiculous, like, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's a Netflix movie. And I don't think they necessarily carry the prestige of getting, like, a theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaacs. There is like just this team of talent that you normally do not see for films that are not
in a theater.
Yeah, like the soundtrack on this film. Look, Triple Frontier is the name of the film.
So I'm wondering, because I saw a little bit of it and it looked good. Jim watched it. I forgot to ask what he thought of it. But anyway, I know he was watching it and I saw enough to go, it really looked like a theatrical movie, but I knew it wasn't. Do you think, let's project 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
maybe even 10, will theaters go the way of Blockbuster?
I don't think you will ever see theaters completely dissipate. But in the same way that we now rent movies either digitally or we Redbox them, like instead of going to a brick and mortar location to rent them, I think you won't see your art house projects. Like I think you've more that middle kind of middling budgeted film. I don't think that's going to exist anymore in the theaters. It's going to, Disney owns, 97% of it already. I think it is going to become just basically a house for your blockbusters. Like Avengers gets to go there. Star Wars gets to go there. Frozen 2 gets to go there. Like kind of those ones that are tailor-made to have $250 million opening weekends that are going to gross up, $1.5 billion in the lifetime run. But you don't see movies again that are just kind of that smaller, maybe $50-60 million like budgeted film. Sometimes you get lucky and you get a Deadpool out of it, which had a ridiculously low budget and just kind of blew expectations away. Those kind of films are going to be relegated to like a Hulu original or a Disney Plus original or a Netflix original. And I know there is probably a certain stigma, a negative stigma to it. And I don't mean it in a pejorative sense because this film was, if I did not know that it was a Netflix original, if I had just picked this thing up, found it one day on Netflix, I would have not been able to tell that it was not, like the production value, the cast, like, the soundtrack alone, I guarantee you, cost like $10 million. They're not getting like the Kidz Bop versions of these songs. Like if they play you something that the Rolling Stones sang, the Rolling Stones are singing it. Like it's just nothing about it looks cheap. And you have got like actors like in these roles. And like I said, it kind of begs the question about this. I think Steven Spielberg had even raised it about...
he's not real happy.
And I think it's kind of funny coming from like a man that 40 years ago basically changed the face of cinema and the way that like we ingested entertainment. Like to say that Jaws and Raiders of the Lost Ark changed the way people go to movies like is underselling it. Like he essentially created the summer blockbuster. For Steven Spielberg to be getting on to something that is essentially changing the way that we ingest entertainment almost seems like it's hypocritical of him. Like he's saying like it needs to be in a theater. Like if you're getting the entertainment to people, like what? Okay, that it feels like to me like somebody that performed in a Greek chorus is like, no. You should only be able to see these performed like at the Parthenon. We don't need them recorded in moving pictures, okay? that's not the way like you're supposed to watch Oedipus, all right? Like don't watch it like at a movie house with a motion picture. Like
and that's how they would talk.
I mean, to be fair, Steven Spielberg is an old white man. So a lot of times they seem to have the hardest time accepting new things. And I think that's the problem. Like he's protecting something that like, I'm going to go ahead. He's kind of the king of like, was Ready Player One as good as Jaws? No,
but like a good movie.
That guy can still make a movie. Mm-hmm. Like,
so this one, the story is these guys are all vets. Their lives suck, but they have a particular set of talents.
They do. I don't know that necessarily their lives suck, but they feel like to a certain extent, like they're owed something.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters even makes the assertion that said, if we had the level of success we did in our field in any other like job, like we would be sitting at the, like we would be, you know, the CEOs, we would be the ones that were raking in that money, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
He finds a drug lord in South America. And like this guy is a bad guy. Like he kills like good people. Like he's knee deep in drugs. Like there's nothing about this guy that's good. Like he's got a family, but like this gentleman right here is one of those people that like if you heard in on the news or whatever, oh this guy was killed like in the middle of the street. No, nobody cries.
Yeah,
nobody cries about
kind of like an Idi Amin type of thing. It's like, oh good, he's dead now.
Like you're kind of like. You're not shedding tears.
So they go after a bad guy to mess stuff up and get his money?
They don't even go after like him.
Oh.
basically his, more or less it is learned that his house operates as his safe. Like, so they have intel that tells him he probably has about $75 million like at his house. And they were going to seize this for, I don't remember the agency, but more or less Oscar Isaac's character comes to them and says, what if we don't do it through this agency? We do it and we keep the money.
So they all have jobs together?
They used to be part of like an elite like squadron, but now like one of them sells condos, like one of them does, like they've all split apart. They're not like working together. Oscar Isaacs is still working kind of like within, it's a private sector now, but he's still doing those kind of, he finds this information, comes to it, brings his old team back together, and he's just like, listen, guys, like we start splitting this up, like we don't ever work again. Like we're, and it's not like we're stealing this from like a good, decent person. Like if we don't do this, I'm going to take this to this agency. They're going to do it. They're going to seize the money. Somebody is going to take this guy down. They're going to seize all of this money. This way, we are set, and we take a disgusting human being off the map.
See, I'm totally behind them.
See, the,
it's like, well, I want them to do this kind of bad thing. It's kind of questionable, yet the other guy's far worse, and they do deserve the money.
And I'm just saying, like, this guy gets murdered, and, you know, like, I have $17 million. Who's really losing there? I'm not. It almost feels like a kind of a Taken meets Ocean's 11. Like, it's this team of guys. And the film actually started out from the team that did Zero Dark Thirty and Hurt Locker, which when you start watching the movie, it completely makes sense that Kathryn Bigelow was once attached to this, and she's still even an executive producer on it, I think, because of how far it just, it ended up in development hell. The writer and the director, I believe, are both credited in this. Well, the writer obviously is credited, but the director who was previously attached to it, and the names that have been on this movie, like at one point, Tom Hanks, Johnny Depp, and who was the other? Casey Affleck. Like the names that have interchanged on this movie, like, and like, I'm saying, like, they're all that. Like, Oscar Isaacs is the star of the most recent Star Wars. Like, Ben Affleck is the former Batman of the DC. Like, Tom Hanks, I really don't feel like I should have to explain to anybody.
Exactly.
Like, Tom Hanks, like, origin, it's basically like telling the story, like, of Christ. Like, people have probably heard about it at this point. I'm going to put it out there. Johnny Depp, like, also a name that was, like, thrown around on it. I cannot believe that with all these names that you have an Oscar-winning director, you have an Oscar-nominated writer, I didn't think you could say no to anything Tom Hanks says that he'll do. Like, I assumed at this point he rubbed his two Oscars together, the Blue Fairy appeared, and the movie had funding. But whatever, the film ended up kind of going to the wayside. It kept getting, like, different directors and, like, different actors. So eventually, I think Netflix was like, okay, we'll buy this thing. Like,
this thing.
Yeah.
You guys seem mildly interested. We'll make it.
I mean, how much money do we have back there? And they're just like, $75 million. They're like, yeah, we got that in the walls of our house too. Do you guys want to do that? Do you want to do that? Yeah.
Okay. So, did you find it to be a good movie?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, you believe that these guys had a very strained, like, relationship back in the day. You accept that, like, they have this begrudging respect, like, for one. All of the relationships are very honest. The action in the film is just solid. Like, whoever did the cinematography on it, I'm just saying, like, if I did not know conclusively that this was a made-for-Netflix movie, I would have assumed I just missed it in theaters or something. Like, it looks like a movie. Like, when I saw, what was Bird Box?
Bird Box, yeah.
Bird Box
is hilarious.
It doesn't feel like a movie to me, though. Like, and I don't mean it looks cheap, but I'm just saying, like, I accept it. I was like, okay, maybe that is a Netflix. Like, it's not really made for TV, but, like, it didn't look like a movie to me. Triple Frontier feels like a film that got released again. Like I said, that I just, I was like, oh, well, I must have been busy that month or something. Like, just this gorgeous movie, talented set of actors, like, everything about this is cinematic. And it just dropped on Netflix. You've got the Highwayman. I believe it's got Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson. Like, they're the two of the guys that were trying to hunt down Bonnie and Clyde. And I think it drops at the end of this month. Also looks like this movie from 1997, like, that I just, again, must have missed it when it was in theaters. Like, nothing that I've seen as far as the preview indicates to me that this is not a legit, for real, like, you know, Paramount Pictures, Universal, whatever movie. Like, if Netflix can maintain this kind of quality, I don't see any reason you don't start seeing that paradigm, like, start shifting. Actors don't get to drive movies like they used to. Like, back in the day, if, you know, George Clooney or Jim Carrey or whomever, if they were in a movie, you could open a movie based on the fact that, you know, Robin Williams was in the movie or Tom Hanks was in the movie. Now it's franchises. It's IPs. But at Netflix, the actor can be the star again. Like, it's a big deal that Oscar Isaacs and Ben Affleck are in that movie.
Now, kind of along the same vein, Adam and I both have the ability, dare I say the superpower, to accept someone's art separately from their personal life. No matter how distasteful their personal life might be, I can accept the art for what it is.
Well, the Michael Jackson, like his recent HBO documentary. Can I?
Have you seen it yet?
I've not got to watch all of it yet. I'm in the process of it. But it doesn't paint him in a very flattering light. Can I see that and still recognize that, like, Thriller is one of the greatest music videos of all time? Yeah. Does it kind of taint some of that? Like, when I try to, you know, go back and watch Remember the Time or Scream or any of that? Yeah, it's
hard.
Well,
that's kind of where I'm going. I know in, now I don't remember what country. But somewhere, not here, stations were pulling Michael Jackson music after that came out on HBO. And it's like, okay, really? I mean, those of us who lived through it, we all knew something was going on. At least, obviously, like, something was going on.
There was a very well-known, like, court case, like, that involved, like, just, and I don't mean, like, that he was trying to, like, you know, embezzle money or something. It was about that. Like, this is a reasonably well-known fact. Like, when he died, is it 10 years ago? Was it 08 or 09?
I don't remember.
It's right at a decade.
It seems like it was a few months ago.
No.
But it is not.
Pretty sure it was about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Like, sales and his greatest hits, like, Spike. I'm just, like, I don't know if, because we're so far removed from his passing, that now it's okay if we start criticizing. Whenever somebody initially passes, like, you're often thought of as a monster if you're just like, yeah, but Gus was a jerk. Like, don't say that at his funeral. Like, I feel like my wife is probably going to have to deal with something like that. Just going, like, as we speak now, like, would any of those in attendance like to give their remembrance of Adam was a jerk? Sit down.
You're just assuming. I'm assuming. Yeah.
Oh, I know I'm going first. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But, so tell me how much of the Michael Jackson documentary you have seen. Like, more than half enough?
No, I don't think.
Stupid way for me to phrase that.
I'm not quite half in.
Is it well produced?
I'll tell you,
riveting?
You and I have even covered HBO. Knows how to put together a documentary.
Yes,
and
we do love them.
It's enough that, like, it is really scuttled Michael Jackson, like, album sales. Like, the estate of Michael Jackson has, like, hit them, like, with the litigious smackdown.
What I read the other day was LaToya, who, when I say LaToya, you can just assume it's followed by an eye roll. You know, it's like LaToya.
She's not the most credible of the Jacksons.
And yet, some old interviews with LaToya have, of course, resurfaced where she said, yeah, he does this, this, and this. But LaToya also said a lot of crazy things, and she was pretty much dismissed.
Well, I don't remember the stand-up comedian that pointed out, and they go, but this is also the family that buys each other faces for, you know, Christmas or the birthday.
So, true that.
I mean, the Jacksons were not a traditionally, like, normal family. Like, let's say, like, when my family is hungry, and I'm like, let's go out to McDonald's, guys. Like, I don't think they ever had that kind of moment.
So, we're clear. We're absolutely clear on the on what Michael Jackson did for American music. But with Michael Jackson and now on a much
completely
smaller scale,
from,
let's talk Lori Loughlin. Do you think Hallmark should have pulled all of her films? Now, I'm going to surprise you, Adam in particular. I've never seen a Lori Loughlin Hallmark film.
My experience with Lori Loughlin begins and ends with the point that I've had to walk into my daughter's room, kiss her goodnight, tell her I love her while she's binging Full House and Fuller House. She has seen them in the same way that I have seen, like, The Next Generation in Deep Space Nine. Like, the way that my parlance can, like, flip it and I'll be like, oh, it's not unlike that episode in season four. Like, how I can draw a parallel, if you'll give me a minute, between some episode of Star Trek or a movie. She can do that. She'll be like, ah, well, that's like the time Uncle Joey and Uncle Joe, like, she does, that's her kind of, I guess, bridge into, you know, the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, let's say, academic in my knowledge of Full House, Fuller House, or Lori Loughlin. I have not seen her Hallmark films. To be fair,
I know she had a lot of them.
I don't know that I have ever watched a Hallmark film in its entirety. I am aware of its existence.
So when we look at what Michael Jackson is accused of, and we look at what Lori Loughlin is accused of, it seems to me like their art is being treated the same way, and yet
one is perceptively, potentially much, much worse.
Yes, that's my point. I mean, I'm not saying that she allegedly didn't do something that
I think
she shouldn't
more,
have done.
Yes.
Because, and yeah, you want your kid to get into a great school and, oh, geez, bribe some people to say that they're on the crew team when they never did crew. I get it. That's not a good thing. I get that. But she's getting a backlash, I think, like someone who is accused of much more serious crimes.
And as I don't remember the individual on Twitter that said it, but they more or less said, so what's the difference in doing that and like getting the library named after you because you donated to the, like,
right.
Like, are you like, let's say, you know, like Westington, like John Westington, like donated this amount of money, got the library there. And now, Bob Westington, his grandson, wants to go to that college. Like, mm-hmm. Do you think that kid gets in there? Like the one that's named for the library that's on there? I'm pretty sure, like, and I'm not saying you need to bribe your way, you know, that academics don't need to be done based on, like, the people's talent. I'm just saying, like, I think it's a really weird thing to get up in arms about, especially when you're talking about, like, especially by comparison, Michael Jackson's alleged crimes and Lori Loughlin's. Are both of them guilty of things? Yeah. Is one of them definitely, definitely worse? Oh my goodness, yes.
Oh yeah.
Like in a catastrophic way.
Yeah. So that was just my take on it. It seems like, oh, we're going to get rid of all Netflix has pulled.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's kind of.
Yeah, she's gone.
I think she's got a clothing line or a makeup line or something like that. I don't remember.
One of her daughters has a Sephora makeup line.
Maybe that's, okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And they dropped her. And I watched her. She apparently is a YouTube influencer. Now, I see a lot more YouTube influencers than you do.
Probably.
Yes. And I watched some of her stuff. I found it intensely irritating, yet typical of the age and the medium.
Well, I, like, what's it, Jake Paul? Like, one of my sons, like, had that on YouTube one day, and I immediately, within 30 seconds of seeing it, went, turn it off. Turn it off now. never watch it. Like it's not made for me. Like,
correct.
I'm not the demographic for anything except I think Dr. Scholl's and probably like Goody's powder. Like now,
I believed what she said. She apologized for saying that she just wanted to go to school to party. I'm going to be honest. I know a lot of kids who just wanted to go to college to party.
Yeah.
So I can't really fault her for that.
I'm going to go ahead and say that 117% of the kids that went to college went there to maybe party a little.
Yeah. So she was just speaking.
A modicum of party. Like,
we've all seen Animal House. We all know about the parties.
Speaking of which, I think Rodney Dangerfield falsified something. I think he's older than he should be.
Perhaps. So that's just a thought. I think they're overreacting with her.
Well, I think when you have the no talent, like you have to measure what people like the. Okay. Roseanne getting fired by Disney versus James Gunn getting fired by Disney. Like both of them said things that they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
One of them continues to say it. One mm-hmm. of them did it like 10 years ago. Which one of them is wrong? Well, they were both wrong. It's right. They both said things that they definitely shouldn't have said. Roseanne, I don't know how her publicist has not thrown her phone against the wall and broke it and just be like, listen, you're going to make yourself unemployable. You have to stop that. Like, don't say what you're thinking anymore. Tell me, and I'll type it into your Twitter, okay?
I think that Roseanne's publicist is probably friends with Trump's publicist, so they can just, you know, kvetch to each other.
I just, like,
I said not to do it.
Like, she got fired from a show called Roseanne, and, like, she's not the Snoopy neighbor on the show. Mm-hmm. She's the name of the show character.
By the way, is the Connors renewed?
I believe, I believe most. It's had a successful run at the very least. Not as successful as it was when it was Roseanne, but I'm just saying, like, if she can be fired from a show called Roseanne, like that. I mean, it sends a definite message to people. You're not above it. But, like, what happened? James Gunn was recently rehired.
And here's another conversation, which we have no answer to. Kevin Spacey, great actor, creepy human being.
I dare say disgusting human
sure,
being.
Yes. Let's go with that, which I really hate because I enjoy his impressions so much.
Oh, yeah, him
but,
on Saturday Night
yes,
Live doing
just a
Walter
foul,
Matthau.
Disgusting
yeah.
human being, unfortunately. He and Roseanne treated the same way, and yet I would weigh their ills differently.
Does Kevin Spacey deserve not to work again? I would argue he probably, like, he does not. I think he's just kind of outed himself, like, so far from the spectrum of acceptance. Like,
right.
I don't think you can argue for him.
And yet Roseanne speaks foolishly, and yet not to support her. And honestly, I don't remember half of what she said. I just know it was seriously, you said that? That's stupid and wrong.
And you committed it to your Twitter.
I know, like, that's just dumb. But it was not a criminal act.
No. Was it insensitive? Was it probably
very
the
much
wrong
so.
Thing to say? Yeah. But
yes.
Like, there are no, like, no one is bringing, like, judicial action against
However,
her.
Is she not being treated the same way as Kevin Spacey work-wise?
She's being largely, I don't know that Roseanne is unemployable forever. Like, I think Kevin Spacey, like, he's done.
Spacey and Cosby are in their own club.
Well, Cosby is about to be in the same, R. Kelly's about to be in the Bill Cosby club. Like, they're in a very, let's say, limited membership.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. I have no answers on it at all. It just crossed my mind that I don't know how we can figure out when it comes to art and artists the punishment needs to fit the crime. And I guess because this is new in that it is now public information, though I'm sure all of these things went on before. People said worse things than Roseanne ever put on Twitter, and it was accepted, and it was wrong. But they've done that for years.
Well, I mean, like, okay, diabetes. Like, did we know what that was back in the 1500s? No, they probably thought, like, you had a demon in you or you had bad humors and they bled you or they tied rocks to you and sunk you to make sure that, like, it wasn't witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Like, did it exist then? Probably. They just didn't know either about it or they didn't know what it was. Like, because of the way information is really available, I'm not going to say to everybody, but, like, we live in the information age. Like, that the libraries that were burned when, like, Rome got sacked and all mm-hmm. that, like, we live in an environment where I can ask the stupidest question possible, like, to my computer, and within 0.3 seconds, it will give me 10 different sources that I can use to get that, like, mm-hmm. that ability that to get that kind of information at your fingertips, like, while it probably should be used for the betterment of mankind, it's often used to review films and movies, maybe food.
Sometimes I wonder how different our lives, by our lives, I mean specifically mine and Adam's, would be if we never listened to music or read comic books or books or watched movies ever.
I mean, I would have read parchment and I would have seen, like, you know, plays at the, you know, the Parthenon or what. Like, I think I like entertainment. Like, I like information. I like to digest, like, stories in some mm-hmm. way. I think no matter what age I'm in, I think I still try to kind of bring myself to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. I love 4K televisions, 5.1 surround sound. Like, I don't mind that I live when I do, but I think it's something I would have sought out. Like, if it wasn't that, I would have, you know, listened to the bard that was sitting outside mm-hmm. the city, like, you know, playing the lute and telling me of the history of the this, that, or the other. Like, I think that's the person.
And then we can have a show where no one heard it at all, talking about this bard as opposed to this bard.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Here on the Recordian, we'll be doing this on the Nickelodeon. Jane, did you see the Binge or Cringe on the newest Nickelodeons?
So.
Did you see man sneezing? I did. What happened? He sneezed.
To summarize.
Is that how people talked back then?
I can only assume.
I hope so.
I assume. To summarize, Arrested Development, all of it is out now. Some of it is binge-worthy. All HBO documentaries are binge-worthy, even though they are...
During some of them, you probably don't want to eat.
No, like, that's for sure.
And they're definitely informative.
And the Michael Jackson one is both binge-worthy and cringe-worthy at the same time.
Yes, for different...
I'm guessing...
Different reasons we usually cringe at things.
I'm guessing his music isn't in it, is it?
I can't imagine that his estate would have just been like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and use The Girl Is Mine. That's fine. Paul McCall, well, excuse me.
Well, he did say he was bad. Oh. Anyway, the movie Triple Frontier?
Yes.
On Netflix. Watch it. It is good. So I guess to binge it, you need to watch it twice in a row?
I would. Honest to goodness, this is one, if you've got a surround sound, you got a friend that's got like a big screen television or something like that, fine. Seek it out. Like, okay. It's big screen entertainment.
All right. So next week we will have watched more things and might even talk about what we've watched as opposed to what we haven't watched.
True story.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.